At the outset of war in Ukraine and Eastern Europe, programming will be modified to bring you the latest on the war. Pray for Ukraine, Russia, and all NATO troops and countries, and the world in general. We now return to programming.
This is News to Go, your daily news podcast featuring news from various news outlets, heard via our Anchor podcast app and playing on iRadio daily until mid-afternoon. Now the news.
Winter storm warning remains in effect from 8 a.m. EST/7 a.m. CST/ this morning to midnight EST/11 p.m. CST/ tonight. What? Mixed precipitation into mid-morning followed by heavy snow expected. Total snow accumulations of 5 to 9 inches and ice accumulations of around 1/10 of an inch. Winds gusting as high as 40 miles per hour with considerable blowing snow. Where? Portions of northern Indiana and southwest Michigan. When? From 8 a.m. EST/7 a.m. CST/Thursday to midnight EST/11 p.m. CST/Thursday night. Impacts: travel will become very difficult. The hazardous conditions will impact the Thursday evening commute. Precautionary/preparedness actions. If you must travel, keep an extra flashlight, food, and water in your vehicle in case of an emergency. On the flooding situation. This morning there is a flood advisory and our area remains under the following. Flood watch remains in effect through this evening. What? Flooding caused by rain and snowmelt continues to be possible. Where? Portions of northern Indiana, southwest Michigan and northwest Ohio, including the following areas: in northern Indiana, Adams, Allen Inn, Blackford, Cass Inn, DeKalb, Elkhart, Fulton Inn, Grant, Huntington, Jay, Kosciuszko, LaGrange, Marshall, Miami, Noble, Pulaski, St. Joseph Inn, Stark, Steuben, Wabash, Wells, White, and Whitley. In southwest Michigan, Branch, Cass Mee, Hillsdale and St. Joseph Mee. In northwest Ohio, Allen O, Defiance, Fulton O, Henry, Paulding, Putnam, Van Wert, and Williams. When, through this evening. Impacts: excessive runoff may result in flooding of rivers, creeks, streams, and other low-lying and flood-prone locations. Flooding may occur in poor drainage and urban areas. Additional details: rainfall between 1 and 2 inches total is expected to fall during this period with times of moderate to heavy rain. Frozen ground, ice jams, and additional snowpack melt will help lead to increased runoff leading to minor to moderate river flooding and flooding in low-lying areas. http://www.weather.gov/safety/flood-precautionary/preparedness-actions. You should monitor later forecasts and be alert for possible flood warnings. Those living in areas prone to flooding should be prepared to take action should flooding develop. We will let you know of sandbag locations on our Facebook page. Stay tuned here for the very latest as it becomes available. Detailed forecast. Today. Rain, snow, and freezing rain, becoming all snow after 10 a.m. The snow could be heavy at times. Temperature falling to around 26 by 5 p.m. North wind 10 to 15 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 90%. Little or no ice accumulation expected. Total daytime snow accumulation of 2 to 4 inches possible. Tonight. Snow before 1 a.m., then a chance of snow showers, mainly between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. Low around 14. North wind 10 to 15 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 25 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 100%. New snow accumulation of 2 to 4 inches possible. Friday. Mostly sunny, with a high near 27. Northwest wind 5 to 15 miles per hour becoming southwest in the afternoon. Winds could gust as high as 30 miles per hour. Friday night. A 20% chance of snow. Mostly cloudy, with the low around 14. Southwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour becoming west after midnight. Winds could gust as high as 35 miles per hour. Saturday. Partly sunny, with a high near 21. Northwest wind 10 to 20 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. Saturday night. Partly cloudy, with a low around 12.
News Nation this hour, I'm Steve Ruxton. Russia, as it said it would, doesn't seem to be reducing troops at the Ukrainian border.
A U.S. official speaking on condition of anonymity tells the Associated Press Russia has added as many as 7,000 troops near the border with Ukraine in recent days. Earlier this week, Russia announced a pullback of some forces and weapons, but President Joe Biden and other U.S. officials said those claims had not been verified. According to Western estimates, with its weeks-long buildup, Russia has massed about 150,000 troops east, north, and south of Ukraine.
That's Mike Gracia. Meanwhile, there are concerns that a Russian invasion of Ukraine could make inflation here in the U.S. even worse. But lawmakers on both sides of the aisle differ over how those concerns should be addressed. We get more from News Nation's Hannah Brandt.
Democrats say they are actively looking for solutions, and Senate leader Chuck Schumer suggests Republicans do more than just complain.
Republicans seem to have no solutions, just rhetoric. These challenges demand action, and Democrats remain laser-focused on lowering costs.
One thing Democrats are considering is a temporary federal gas tax holiday. And Senator Bob Casey says Americans want the policies that Democrats are pushing.
Having their child care costs go down could help provide some relief. Having other costs go down, the price of prescription drugs should go down.
A major concern is that fuel prices could continue to head up should Russia take military action against Ukraine. A drop in the number of coronavirus cases may result in a change in guidance from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky says things are moving in the right direction.
We want to remain vigilant to do all we can so that this trajectory continues.
The government is contemplating a change in guidance.
We want to give people a break from things like mask wearing when these metrics are better, and then have the ability to reach for them again should things worsen.
Government and business leaders have been out ahead of the CDC in ending things like mask mandates. Walensky says there is one shared goal.
To get to a point where COVID-19 is no longer disrupting our daily lives.
That's Ed Donahue. Canada defeated the U.S. women's hockey team 3-2 to take the gold medal. The defending U.S. settled for silver for a fourth time. Find News Nation on your cable or satellite provider and stay up to date around the clock at NewsNationNow.com and on the News Nation Now app. I'm Steve Ruxton.
From the Black Information Network.
This is the BIN Daily Update.
I'm Vanessa Tyler.
And I'm Mike Stevens on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
No, now. He's not responsive right now, bro.
The crowd pleads with them. Now a second ex-Minneapolis cop tries to explain why he didn't save George Floyd. The only black officer on the scene, J. Alexander King, told the Minnesota federal jury Floyd was unusually strong and hard to pin down. He also testified he trusted Derek Chauvin as the senior officer on the scene. Ex-officer Tutau testified his job was crowd control and he didn't know Floyd was in distress. King, Tao, and white officer Thomas Lane, who is also expected to testify, are accused of violating Floyd's constitutional rights.
Racism should be listed as the leading cause of black death in America. That's according to an editorial in the British Medical Journal. And now there's a push to do more than just acknowledge that fact, to do something to avoid the systemic racism that makes African Americans destined for early deaths.
And their child was executed. Now the Illinois family of a black 15-year-old Chicago boy who was gunned down, shot 24 times, is speaking out. The aunt of victim Sinclair Cole says more people need to be outraged about the violence.
Why are we so worried about protecting each other from germs and not worry about protecting each other from ourselves? Why are we worried about going sitting in a restaurant when we can't even go stand at the bus stop with each other?
Reports are her insensitive remarks about racism are prompting calls for the president of a college in Kansas to be fired. President Deborah Fox of Highland Community College, during a meeting about allegations of racism on the school's football team, reportedly compared one of the black student team members to Hitler. Fox later apologized and said her words were taken out of context, but some, including the writer of an op-ed in the local paper there, feel her time is up.
The CDC director says the Omicron numbers are moving in the right direction.
Omicron cases are declining, and we are all cautiously optimistic about the trajectory we are on.
Dr. Rochelle Walensky says the CDC is assessing whether to relax mask guidelines. Many states have already ripped off the masks or changed mask policy. Health officials
officials say masks and vaccines are key to being safe. Officials also are deciding about a second booster. A black designer from the HBCU FAMU had the talent, took a chance, and it paid off. Camilla Legister decided to enter her designs in both Target's 2021 HBCU Design Contest and JCPenney's Young Gifted and Black Design Challenge, and she won in both. Target will sell her beautiful, culturally inspired t-shirts during Black History Month, and JCPenney awarded $2,000 in cash and access to a weekly mentorship program. Again, all this because she decided to take a chance. I'm Vanessa Tyler with Mike Stevens on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
Getting that perfect shot in the dark is no longer a shot in the dark. Galaxy S22 series is here and breaking all the rules. Keep memories close with crystal clear photos and 8K video, even in low light. Plus an incredible all-day battery that can take on any weekend adventure. And when you pre-order Galaxy S22 series today, you'll get double the storage on us to save double the memories. Plus up to $200 in Samsung credit. Are you ready to break the rules? Visit Samsung.com today.
I'm Mike Stevens.
And I'm Vanessa Tyler on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
A black girl's family is suing police in Florida. They say she was falsely arrested over an online bomb threat that she had nothing to do with. 13-year-old Naya Wim's family is pointing fingers at Renaissance Charter School, the Pembroke Pines Police Department, Facebook, and Instagram. The family says somebody else posted the threat, and their attorney says race could be a factor in how police handled the case.
I think we would be naive to say that it didn't take a place even subconsciously.
She was eventually cleared after detectives traced the computer's IP address to a different girl.
What we want more than anything is for there to be policy reform regarding these type of threats and making sure that an investigation, a proper investigation is done.
Naya spent 11 days in juvenile detention. The victim's family wants compensation of at least $30,000.
It's been 3 years since the remains of another black Florida teenager were found. Still no arrests in the case of Jabez Spann. He was 14 when he went missing after a family Labor Day party in Sarasota in 2017. Relatives believe he witnessed a murder before he disappeared. His skeletal remains were later found in a rural area. No cause of death revealed. A $50,000 reward is still being offered to help police figure out what happened.
A black Michigan State Representative, Jewel Jones, has pleaded guilty to charges stemming from a drunk driving incident last April. In court, he admitted he operated a vehicle while intoxicated, had a gun, was driving recklessly, and tried to escape. All of this led to national headlines when he was arrested along a Michigan interstate by state troopers, and he allegedly name-dropped the governor to try and get out of trouble. As part of his plea deal, Jones had to write letters of apology to the troopers for resisting arrest. Sentencing is next month. Infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci says despite improving conditions with COVID, getting vaccines and boosters are still important.
A single booster shot continues to provide high levels of protection against severe disease caused by Omicron.
Dr. Fauci says the shots may also offer protection for whatever the next variant is after Omicron.
The Bank of Montreal has committed $78 million to black-owned businesses. The bank says black business owners and entrepreneurs can receive loans of up to $196,000. The bank is also partnering with the Black Opportunity Fund to provide financial education in planning, management, and marketing. Access to capital is one of the biggest challenges for black businesses and entrepreneurs. Bloomberg News reports the bank is planning to increase the number of black employees in senior leadership roles to 3.5% in Canada and 7% in the United States. Several other banks also pledged millions to African American enterprises during the nationwide racial justice protests.
I'm Mike Stevens along with Vanessa Tyler on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
The NFL playoffs are here and the Super Bowl is right around the corner. You can follow the action like a fan or you can prep like a scout if you listen to the award-winning Move the Sticks podcast. The show is hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks. The two of us bring knowledge from careers as NFL talent scouts to the podcast world so fans can watch and understand the nuances of the game like never before. After the Super Bowl, it's draft season. If you want to go in-depth on this year's prospects and learn what makes the top players stand out, there's no better podcast than Move the Sticks. We'll break down film from the professional and college games so you can know which player to look out for when the football season returns next fall. You'll learn a ton about the NFL, and I promise we'll make it fun along the way. We'll have several new episodes dropping each week, and you don't want to miss a single one. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your money on the Black Information Network.
Racial covenants sound like something from high school history class, but these once legally binding restrictions are still intact in living documents today. The University of Minnesota's Mapping Prejudice Project says when Jim Crow laws took effect in the South, Black Americans moved north and west, only to be met with a new variety of racism. The Supreme Court had outlawed whites-only neighborhoods, but another ruling allowed racially restrictive covenants between private parties, such as homebuyers and sellers. Covenants became unenforceable in 1948, and the 1968 Fair Housing Act outlawed them entirely. Historians estimate racial covenants are still inked in millions of home deeds in nearly every U.S. state. Today, having racial covenants formally removed can be a long and pricey process. They paved the way for similar practices like zoning and redlining, contributing to the wealth gap for Black Americans that exists today. Businesses in the S&P 500 and Fortune 500 employed more Black and women chief financial officers in 2021 than ever before. The Wall Street Journal reports progress has been slow, to say the least. The number of companies with Black CFOs nearly doubled from 12 in 2020 to 20 in 2021. Money news at 24 and 54 minutes past each hour. I'm Julius White on the Black Information Network.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Download the BIN Daily Update every morning on the iHeartRadio app.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. Flooding, fires, and tornadoes in a pandemic. How do we rebuild? 3 years ago, it was flooding that destroyed dozens of homes in Hamburg, Iowa.
No matter where you are, there's just not the material, supply chain, labor to be able to address these challenges.
But help is on the way, says Pete Evans with Iowa State University, an affordable 40-unit housing project created through 3D printing. At just over $2 million, printing walls is faster than wood framing, which Evans says helps folks who need moderately priced housing, especially those migrating away from urban areas.
There's reverse migration where technology and the ability to be remote is something that allows people to now look back to the rural countryside.
With partial funding from the Iowa Economic Development Authority, Evans hopes success in building 3D housing in Hamburg can be rapidly scaled to other burgs across the state. Another private-public partnership in New England is offering small business solutions to address the pandemic-induced closure of thousands of childcare centers and in-home providers.
COVID certainly has laid bare the need for childcare, I think, like nothing else has.
Cynthia Murphy works for Coastal Enterprises, Inc., a nonprofit business incubator in Maine focused on building back the sector. They're accepting applications now for the six-month program.
We integrate small business startup education with everything that someone needs to know from a childcare standpoint.
The program is free thanks to funding from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and various foundations. Juanita Rodriguez-Vasquez got involved to offer the children of migrant and bilingual families a more diverse experience. She leads Mono in Mono, or Hand in Hand, in Millbridge.
A bilingual child care center. I wanted to bring that back into the community.
11 new businesses already have opened, with more in the final stages of licensing. With the Build Back Better package stalled in Congress, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack is dipping into the Commodity Credit Corporation to fund a new climate initiative that will tackle pollution produced by agriculture. Some say it's a drop in the bucket.
Agriculture's contribution to climate change, it takes a lot more than $1 billion.
Bryce Oates has covered rural policy for 20 years. He says the USDA's Climate Smart Commodities approach will not address operations that pollute groundwater, such as feedlots and hog confinements, where trends are going in the wrong direction.
The amount of fertilizer applied to row crop lands has increased, and there's an increase in industrial livestock facilities.
He'd like to see up to 50 million acres nationwide set aside for conservation.
And you could pay farmers a little bit, and they could take that land out of production, put it in wildlife habitat, and put it into a permanent carbon storage reservoir in the soil.
For the Yonder Report and Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Ollie Barrett. The US says Russia's claim to be moving troops away from the border with Ukraine is false. Washington says Moscow could use a false pretext to launch an invasion at any time. Russia denies its planning an incursion, says the West is guilty of hysteria. Thousands of people are without power in northern England after Storm Dudley brought down trees, power lines and rail cables. Works underway to reopen rail services across Scotland that had to stop running. The high winds brought by Dudley come ahead of Storm Eunice, which is expected to bring powerful gusts to much of the UK on Friday. Neil McNair runs a guest house in the Yorkshire Dales.
We've got no lights, no heating, no hot water. So it's pretty desperate at the moment. As we have no power and no heating, hot water, etc., we had a full house for the next couple of days here at the mill, and we've had to relocate all our guests because we don't know when the power is going to come back on.
13 people have died in northern India, including children, after falling into a well while celebrating at a wedding. Authorities are investigating the incident. Rebecca Bunden reports from Mumbai.
13 women and girls died after a concrete slab covering an abandoned village well collapsed in the Kushinagar district of the North Indian state of Uttar Pradesh. They had been singing and dancing at a wedding and the slab gave way under their weight, an official said. Several other people were injured and hospitalised after falling 15 metres into the well. The country's Prime Minister Narendra Modi, in a tweet, expressed his condolences. Rebecca Bunden, Mumbai.
Police and lifesavers have been searching waters off a Sydney beach after a swimmer was killed by a shark. It's Sydney's first fatal shark attack in almost six decades. Sean Bindley reports.
Witnesses have described the moments a large shark grabbed a swimmer, dragging them underwater near Little Bay. The victim suffered catastrophic injuries and could not be saved. This man was nearby at the time and says he's struggling to come to terms with what happened.
I'm in the water here a lot too, and seeing that happen like 10 metres away from the rocks I don't know how I'm going to go forward with that.
Authorities launched a huge search operation at first light today. Jet skis, boats and the surf life-saving helicopter looking for more DNA evidence as well as the shark responsible. The Malabar Magic Ocean Swim planned for this weekend has been cancelled.
In the UK, there's a warning that more than 14,000 men in England might be unaware they have prostate cancer because the COVID-19 pandemic has disrupted screenings. Prostate Cancer UK, the charity, is concerned about the number of missing patients and says the figure could grow further. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
This is News Source 1 Michiana. Elkhart, South Bend.
One of the absolute worst lies I was told as a child was this one. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Hi, I'm Pastor Joel of Heart City Church. I want us to listen to Psalm 64, where we hear about the destructive power of words, how they can be used to ruin a reputation. Listen, hear me, my God, as I voice my complaint. Protect my life from the threat of the enemy. Hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from the plots of evildoers. They sharpen their tongues like swords and aim cruel words like deadly arrows. They shoot from ambush at the innocent. They shoot suddenly without fear. They encourage each other in evil plans. They talk about hiding their snares. They say, "Who will see it?" They plot injustice and say, "We have devised a perfect plan." Surely the human mind and heart are cunning. But God will shoot them with His arrows. They will suddenly be struck down. He will turn their own tongues against them and bring them to ruin. All who see them will shake their heads in scorn. All people will fear. They will proclaim the works of God and ponder what he has done. The righteous will rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. All the upright in heart will glory in him. Psalm 64, did you notice it begins as a complaint to God? Let me just tell you, it is all right to complain to God. In fact, the only problem with complaining is when you complain to the wrong person. If I buy a product from a store and something's wrong with it, I can either complain to everyone I know and ruin the store's reputation, or I can go to the store's complaint department and provide them with opportunity to make it right. Notice how my words can do harm, or they can bring justice, restoration. So anytime there is something wrong, it is okay to complain to God, to take it to him, because God is the ultimate complaint department, because God has the ability to make all things right, including dealing with folks who are using words as weapons against others. Psalm 63 shows us about the destructive power of that little bit of flesh between the jaws, as Luther put it. Did you hear all the language of warfare? Tongues like swords, cruel words like arrows, ambush, shooting, snares. You could really describe Psalm 63 as verbal ambush. It is a complaint about verbal ambush. And King David is the target by those who want him out of power. And we see this happening in our own day by both folks on the right and the left, politicians who seek to ruin reputations in order to ascend to or maintain their own power. And they have it, no fear. So many of them do not. Friend, are we prone to imitate so many of our leaders? Seems like after 2020 rocked us like an earthquake, 2021 was just a year of everyone yelling angry things about others. And I hope and pray that 2022 will bring about a change as opposed to creating further division and further destruction. Now, I am all about justice and truth, but Psalm 64 is a warning about remembering that God will deal with all verbal ambushes, even those times we've used our words to ruin the reputations of others. This psalm tells us all mankind should fear what God will do for every malicious word spoken. In fact, God's words are going to shoot out like arrows against those who commit verbal ambush. And that's actually our hope if we're looking to him, that our God is just and will deliver his people in the end, that the mouths of all liars will be stopped. So what we ought to be doing is bringing our words, our complaint, to God. Did you notice David makes three requests of God? First, that God hear him. Second, that God protect him. And third, that God would hide him. And we can trust that God will do all three of these when folks use their words as weapons against us. After all, look to the gospel. God sent the ultimate word, our Lord Jesus, who actually himself was ambushed by false words. And we saw God made that right by raising him from the dead and seating him at the throne of power at his right hand. And friends, he now speaks a word of grace to you and I. That is the gospel. So we should likewise have a word of grace, not letting any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4:29. And we can build others up with our words because guess what? We do have a refuge. We are hidden with Christ in God. You and I, dear friend, are to use our tongues for healing. That is our job in our world that is a war of words. My friend, remember who you are and who you belong to.